my friends. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood with Zion Baptist Church here in beautiful Benton, Tennessee, gateway to the Cherokee National Forest. I want to thank you for joining us again for worship and a message from God's Word. I also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook at Zion Baptist Church Benton and drop us an email and let us know how God has blessed you. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles, take those and open those up, if you would, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. And we'll be looking at verses 26 through verse 46. And we thank God for our veterans. Amen? Amen. And not only do we thank God for our veterans, but I think we owe something to our veterans. And so I would like to speak to you this morning about what we owe to our veterans and honoring those who have served and are presently serving. Over 21 million that we have with us alive and or serving and or have served in our armed forces. And along the way then, I want to take a glimpse and a look at the greatest veteran that ever lived and continues to live. And what he has afforded us, the opportunity to have the privilege to be a part of and participate in. If you found Luke chapter 23, say amen. Let's stand together in honor of our Father's Word if you're physically able. And if you're not, God understands that, and we certainly do. Again, we'd like to welcome our internet listening audience and our friends in India and around. And by the way, we had, I believe, 9 new additions in Brother Rogers' church there in India. And he thanks the Lord for that. And we celebrate with him over those baptisms. And you should too, because you are helping to bring those baptisms to pass. Now, that's not counting our also 75 pastors which we have training. That's just in Rogers' specific church. And there are many, many more. And so I thank the Lord for Rog there. And when I think of him as a veteran, as a soldier of Christ, and the work that he is doing. And so we're very much aware that you're listening, Brother Rog, and for the rest. And we thank God for you. In Luke chapter 23, verse 26 through 46, you'll find a very familiar account. And it is an account of the crucifixion of Christ. And probably you hear this most of the time, building up to Easter or at Easter time. But I think it's fitting as we look at sacrifice today and as we talk about sacrifice today. And so in chapter 23 and in verse 26, it says, "When they led him away, they seized a man named Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed him on the cross to carry behind Jesus. And following him was a large crowd of people and the women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. And then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?'" Verse 32 says, "Two others also who were criminals were being led away to put to death with him. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on. And even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if this is Christ of God, his chosen one.' And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And now there was also an inscription above him, 'This is the King of the Jews,' it read. And one of the criminals who were hanging there was hurling abuse at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he was saying, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And in verse 43, Jesus said to him, 'Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise.' And it was about the 6th hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the 9th hour, because the sun was obscure and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And verse 46 says, 'And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last." Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning. And Father, we thank you as we've just read of this great sacrifice which was given. And Father, as we honor our veterans today, those who have gone before us and those who are presently embroiled in the battle that we have against evil in this world, Father, help us to recognize the sacrifice that they make, the tangible sacrifices that they are making here in this world and that their families are making. And Father, may we also see the tangible sacrifice that was made by you and the spiritual application and implication it has for us who are alive and remain here. And God, we thank you for our veterans, and we thank you for you today and your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray. They all said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Do you know the history of Veterans Day? Let me just give you a little synopsis of it. It was on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918. The world celebrated. Do you remember why the world celebrated? Because World War I was declared over. President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation to celebrate the Armistice Day on November the 11th. And then in 1938, the day was declared a national holiday. And then in 1954, the name was changed to Veterans Day in honor of all the U.S. soldiers in any war that had ever served or ever would serve. So, I know that here today, we probably have veterans in our congregation. Do we have anybody here who has served in the military or is serving currently in the military? If you would, stand. That means attention. All right. And is this everybody? We thank you all. We thank you all and we honor you today. You can be seated. Have you ever heard the story of the Palmyra sacrifice? On September the 12th, 1862, Confederate Army Colonel Joseph E. Porter decided to raid Palmyra, Missouri and release the 45 Confederate prisoners who had been captured and placed in jail there. He picked a time when most of the Union forces were off on a wild goose chase in Monticello, Missouri. So Colonel Porter and 400 men slipped into town. And they captured several prisoners, and among them was 60-year-old Andrew Alsman. Now, he was a Union sympathizer who had the reputation of betraying Confederate neighbors to the militia. He was much disliked by the Confederates, to say the least. So Colonel Porter, after occupying the town for a few hours, felt that he had accomplished all that he could do while he was there, and the prisoners in jail were freed. Arms and supplies were confiscated and some horses taken from the rebel soldiers. They took those and then they withdrew from the town. Now, I want you to remember that story. So why do we honor our veterans today? And I want to share that with you. Why do we honor our veterans today? And the first is this, as you'll see, is that veterans are committed to a cause. Veterans are committed to a cause. Look in verse 37 in the Bible that you have in your lap there. The Bible says, and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And the Bible says, the crowd then at the cross taunted Jesus. They said, save yourself, save yourself. But the reason Christ did not save himself, nor did he take himself from the cross, is because he was committed to a cause. He had something greater than what could be seen with a tangible eye, which held him to the cross. He wanted to save the world through the cross by fulfilling his Heavenly Father's will. On our veterans have demonstrated a heart to be committed to the cause. The cause of freedom, which someone alluded to earlier. The cause of courage. The cause of love of country. The cause of the constitutional gifts of a self-government. And Christ was just as much committed to a cause also. Our veterans were committed to a cause. And let me ask you this question. What cause are you committed to? Do you realize that there are churches all over America, and we speak of America today, that are probably much like ours, half full. Half full, half full or half empty, perhaps would be a better word, that if their committed members, so-called committed members, were actually in pursuit of Christ, that they would be full. The question is what are we committed to? For what cause would you risk your life? Or what cause would you lay down your life? Would it be your finances? Would it be your time? Would it be your family? Today we honor our veterans. We honor our veterans. But the truth of it is that we worship our Commander-in-Chief. Now, if your mind went to the President of the United States, you're not looking high enough. I'm talking about our Commander-in-Chief as spiritual soldiers of Jesus Christ. We honor our veterans, but we worship our Commander-in-Chief. We owe our liberty to our veterans, but we owe our eternal lives to Jesus Christ. Amen? Sure we do. We salute the flag, but we kneel before the cross. And if they were more kneeling before the cross, they would have no problem standing for the national anthem. if we knew the cost that was paid. Now back to my story. On October the 8th, Provost Marshal William R. Strawn published a notice to the Confederate Colonel Porter that unless Almond was returned within 10 days, 10 former Confederate soldiers held as prisoners in Palmyra and Hannibal, Missouri would be executed. The 10 days elapsed and no reply was ever received, and it was believed that Andrew Osmond was already dead. And I've done some more investigation in this, and he was already dead, so they couldn't return him. 10 Confederate prisoners already in custody were selected to pay with their lives. The names of these men were as follow: Willis Baker, Thomas Humston, Morgan Bixler, Herbert Hudson, John M. Wade, Marion Lair, and Captain Thomas A. Snyder, Eleazar Lake, and William T. Humphrey. Remember that name, William T. Humphrey. The soldiers were informed on Friday evening that unless Mr. Almond was returned to his family by 1 o'clock the following day, they would be shot on that very same hour. The Reverend James S. Green, a parson of the local Baptist church there, remained with them during the night as their spiritual leader, advising them and encouraging them to get things right with their Maker, whom they were going to see in a very short matter of time. And a little after 11 a.m. the next day, 3 government wagons drove to the jail, and they carried a total of 10 wooden coffins. Why do we honor our veterans? Well, let me give you the second thing. Veterans are dedicated to changing the course of the future. Veterans are dedicated to changing the course of the future. Look in verse 42 and 43 in your Bible. Then Jesus said to those, Lord, remember me. The thief said to him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. You realize that Jesus was speaking of not only his future, but the future also of the thief that hung on the cross. For these men on the cross, time was running out. Their lives were about to end on earth, but their eternal destinies was just about to begin. Though they both had joined in the crowd when they were taunting Jesus, one of them repented and asked Jesus to remember him. And then Jesus replied, and what Jesus replied changed the course of that man's eternal future. In an instant, he was delivered from certain damnation in hell, and his soul was taken to paradise. Can you think of a greater contrast in a person's life that can happen than what happened to the thief there on the cross? This is a different world than it would have been for him. Can you imagine how much different heaven is from hell? How drastic that is of turning to Christ, as in to denying Christ. And you know what? Yes, we too still live in a corrupt and twisted society. But who knows what powers might have dominated if there had not been the commitment of our veterans. Truly, in each war, they changed the course of the future. And if you have the opportunity to travel very much outside these United States of America, you can see what sacrifice our veterans have had in order that we might be able to live the type of life and the culture of life in which we now enjoy. If you see how the other countries are, it always amazes me how when you see, and I don't want to get off topic here, but as you watch TV, you hear about how other countries view America, according to some news outlets. But the truth is that everybody's trying to get into America. Everybody wants to get into America, not just the terrorists, but others are wanting to get into America because it is the land of the free. It's the land of the free. Now bear that in mind. Jesus changed the future of this thief here that was on the cross from eternal destination in hell to a paradise in eternity. Our literal veterans have changed the destination of this country to keep us free, in which we can enjoy the benefits, in which I can stand before you today in a public format and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, proclaim the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and proclaim that Jesus is the only way to heaven and the only answer to man's sin. Because of the veterans that have gone on before us. So the question is what are you and I willing to do for the future? What are we willing to do for the future? What are we willing to do for the future of this church? What are we willing to do for the future of your family and for your children? And may I say, there's nothing more important. I was thinking as Chris was up here talking before the worship service, I want you to know this. And God has blessed America. And I would struggle. God is blessing America and that He is extending mercy to America. He is giving us an opportunity to do just what the thief on the cross did, and that's repent and turn to Him. But I believe this with all my heart, and this is just a little sidebar. I believe before America turns back to God, it's going to be a lot worse than what it is. And I cannot think of any greater time for parents to be teaching their children about the Lord Jesus Christ at home and with the Scripture and leading lives that are led by example and to live holistic style lives and be holy for He is holy and to make the difference, make the stark contrast between right and wrong, good and evil, because they're going to have all the strength that they can get to live in the days to come. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to make Sodom and Gomorrah look like Disneyland. And we're going to have to come to the end of our proverbial rope. And God in His great mercy and His infinite grace will come down and deal with us in the flesh where we fail to deal with Him in the Spirit. Make no mistake about it. He will deal with America. And we need to prepare our children. Christians need to prepare your children, your grandchildren, to get ready, to stand fast, and to hold true, because it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's got to, because He'll have to deal with people in the flesh before they'll ever turn to Him. He'll have to deal with them with their finances. He'll have to deal with them with their freedoms. He'll have to deal with them probably with their health. And He'll deal with all of these things, but we need not panic because we know what's going on. But the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. And so we'll have to suffer through a lot of these things with those who don't know Him. And we do that as shining lights, as examples, as shining stars across the velvety background of sinfulness that we have here in the United States of America today. And He's going to do this. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse so you and I can shine brighter. So we can bring people to Jesus Christ. What are you willing to do for the future, for your church and for your family? However differently our nation's history may have been, without the contribution of our veterans, nothing can compare. Nothing can compare with the change that Jesus made through the cross. He came to rescue us not only for a time, but for an eternity. And I thank God for that. You know, I think of this, and as I was looking at this and writing these notes down, how many of you know that America's changed just in the last, let's just say last 10 years? You know America's changed. Say amen. Has she changed in the last 20 years? Say amen. How about the last 50 years? Yeah. Now, is the change for the better? Well, you can say in medicine and maybe in science and things of that nature. But if you look at areas of morality and culture and holiness, has she changed for the better?
No.
It's obvious. Anybody can see that. And the reality of it is that His Christ change never changes. Hebrews 13 and 8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what Christ came to do and what Christ came to cause for us, that salvation, that never changes. Just like His Word never changes. He came to rescue us for an eternity. Now, back to my story. 10 men were escorted from the prison and they were seated in the wagons. One sitting upon each coffin. A guard of the soldiers accompanied them, and then this group started for the fairgrounds located a half mile east of the town. 10 coffins were removed from the wagons and placed in a row 6 to 8 feet apart. 30 soldiers of the Union Army 2nd of Missouri State Militia, were drawn up in a single line facing those rows of the coffins. The arrangements completed, the doomed men knelt down upon the grass between their coffins and the soldiers, and then the Reverend R.M. Rhodes offered up a prayer. And at the conclusion of this, each prisoner took his seat upon the foot of his coffin, facing the muskets, which in a few moments were going to launch them into eternity. By the way, this is the truth, and I'm reading from a newspaper account of a reporter that was there. 100 spectators had gathered to witness the scene. And they said the stillness of death pervaded the place. And the officer in command now stepped forward and he gave the word of command. Ready, aim, fire. Which brings me to my third point. Veterans are willing to pay the ultimate price. Veterans are willing to pay the ultimate price. Look at verse 46. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, He breathed His last breath. How important this is that Jesus didn't shrink back at the point of death. And He didn't have to. That's the whole point of it. The Bible tells us at any point He could have called down legions, tens of thousands of angels, to totally decimate not only those who were crucifying Him there, but the whole planet of earth as we know it could have been wiped clean, and God could have started over at the beckoning call of His Son Jesus Christ. But Jesus was committed. He was committed not only to the love of the Father, but to the love of the creation of the Father, which is you and I. Not only for those who were standing on the planet at that time, but for all of those who would come after that time, which includes you and I. Jesus was committed to the point of death. That reminds me of that song we sing, Jesus paid it all. Jesus gave it all. And all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it as white as snow. Thank God. The Bible says in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Romans 5:6 says, for while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5:8 says, for God demonstrated His own love toward us, and while that we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through His death, the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Our veterans are willing to pay the price. You see, the matter of fact is that at any time, and by the way, y'all know that we've got a total volunteer army now. The Army, the Air Force, the Marines, and the National Guard, and all of these, the Coast Guard, and all of these. It's a total voluntary force. And even though on the onslaught many might join for many different reasons, maybe to get school loans paid off, or maybe to be able to go to school, or for whatever, or just to have a job, and so on and so forth, ultimately when everybody signs the line to go into the armed forces, they know that when they sign that line, they are basically saying that they are going to defend the Constitution and the sovereign ground of these United States of America, even if it costs them their life. And that's the understanding that they have. And I encourage kids a lot of times when they talk about joining the Army and so on and so forth, or Marines or whatever it might be. I said, that's wonderful. That's fine. They talk about their training. They talk about their schooling. They talk about all this. I said, well, that's wonderful. But I want you to know that it takes a calling from God in order to do this and do it correctly. And a calling from God to be able to be willing to lay down your life when that time comes. Because it's very possible that it might be. See, it's so easy to forget that we are in a time of war right now. We are in an armed conflict and have been over the last 20 years. But ultimately, when the line is signed, we're saying that we'll be willing to pay the price. And I thank God for our veterans and for men and women that are willing to do that. Our veterans are willing to pay the price. They give up their safety and their peaceful homes. They leave their family and their friends. Some surrender their personal plans, even for their education, their career. Some suffer the loss of their sight or forfeit their limbs. And many are radically and physically disabled. Some are mentally challenged when they leave the service and they come back home. And then many never come back home. They actually pay the price with their lives. Countless young men and women in the bloom of their youth have been willing to pay the price, however great, for the cause which they were committed to in order to change the course of the future of this nation. They have paid the ultimate price. Well, what's that application to you and I? Well, what price are you and I willing to pay? What price are you and I willing to pay? I can't remember the exact quote, but how long can we expect to stay free if we have no one else willing to pay the price? It almost seems like we don't have a stomach anymore to stand up for what's right or what's wrong, for human rights and the sanctity of human life. That's these United States of America. Nobody wants to go and be a part of the battle. And you know, we think of that in literal terms. In literal terms, but there's a spiritual application to that too. It seems almost like the Church of America, and I say church, and I use it in very loose terms, they don't have a stomach for war anymore. They don't have a stomach to live a holistic style life. They don't have a stomach to be in pursuit of Christ. They don't have a stomach to be willing to pay the ultimate price, to pick up their cross daily and to die to self and to follow Jesus. Instead, we just blend into the background of the culture and all of what's going on, and we're not any different than anybody else other than we assemble on a Sunday morning in some building somewhere, and then we just simply go back out and we vanish into the culture. We just mix right in and blend right in. And the reality of that is, folks, is because there's some that have counted the cost, but they're not willing to pay the price. I've often heard it said, if there are no thorn bearers on this earth, there'll be no crown wearers in heaven. We're either for Him or we're against Him. We're committed. Once you sign that line, when people go to the battlefield, when they get on that battlefield, their main ambition is to live, to survive. And they do that for friends and family, and on down the line, country, and so on and so forth. But they are determined. They are committed to the cause. And we in a spiritual life should be the same. To maintain our spiritual freedom in this country, we need to be committed to the cause. When we go to the voting booths, pardon this, but when we go and vote, we need to vote on moral and ethical issues. We need to vote on Christian issues. Not worry so much about the finance. The Bible says the birds of the air, they get fed. He said they have a place to lay their heads. The wild animals have a place. How much more valuable than you are you than they are? My Father knows that you need something to eat. He knows that you need clothes on your back. So He wants us to be busy about our Father's business. And so in the days ahead, we need to vote on moral and ethical issues, realizing there are no perfect people. But there is the truth, and biblical truth, the sanctity of life, how important children are, unborn children are, how important our senior citizens are, and so on and so forth. These type of things, what has God called a family, marriage between one man and one woman. We need to vote on these type of issues, and people that are standing out front with these type of issues, and that will bring those type of issues to the forefront. And not only that, then, on the political realm, revival is not going to come by political, but it's going to come by soldiers of Jesus Christ, who are willing to pay the price, to be willing to live in conviction, to read the Word, study the Word, let the Word saturate their life in so much so that it just oozes out of them and their character, in so much so that people watch them and they desire to have what they've got, and that's a relationship with the Heavenly Father. They just don't know facts about God, they know God. And they know that they know God because they see Christ in us. Because we love one another. Then they'll want to know what we have to say. God help us. We need to rid ourselves of all that robs us of meeting God's high expectations. You realize that God's got expectations for you and I? We don't see that a lot on TV. We don't hear it a lot on TV. Even on religious channels, we're just told, I'm all right, you're all right, we're all right, and God's grace is just going to cover everything. Well, the reality of it is that we've been born again. God has extended His unmerited favor because of what Christ did on the cross. That is His grace which is extended to the believer. After that, He indwells us with His Holy Spirit. With His Holy Spirit, He says, we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices unto Him. And in presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, He says, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. In Romans 12 and 1. That means this. When He saves us, He's not satisfied with us with the way we are when He saved us. He saved us so that He can change us. And He wants to change us by us taking on the character of Christ. And what we've done in our religious circles down over the years, and we've told the truth, but only part of the truth. And we told people, come and just say this, and just come and just repeat this prayer, and you'll be saved. But the reality of it is that salvation is someone, it's not something. Salvation is someone to be experienced on a daily basis, not something that you did 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. Salvation is something that is real, in so much so that you're a veteran. Last Sunday when we got up here, when Sean got up here and he sung his the song, the Navy song and the part of the Marine song, I believe it was. I could tell when Sean got up here and when he was singing that old adage, once a Marine, always a Marine. Isn't that right? Yeah. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And once we have given our life to Jesus Christ, once the Holy Spirit has dwelled inside of us, and we like to use the cliche, once saved, always saved, that's wonderful, but you better be sure that you are saved. And the only way to know that you are saved is when you're walking in fellowship with the King. When you're walking in fellowship with the Commander every day. You don't look back to a baptism. You don't look back to an event. You don't look back to a goose pimple. You don't look back to some little sordid sin that you overcome. You look no further than where you are presently right now. And if you are saved, Christ is in you. Now, a lot of people don't like that because they're hanging on to an event that happened so long ago, and they are totally derelict of any type of duty and responsibility of being transformed by the marvelous grace of Christ, when it's something that is active in our lives every day. As the old song says, He walks with us and He talks with us. He walks with us and He talks with us every day. What price are you willing to pay? What price are you willing to pay to raise your children to have a personal faith in Jesus Christ? We had that trunk or treat not very long ago, and I've made mention of it before, and I'll make mention of it again. What broke my heart is that most children that came to the trunk or treat, and let me put this in context, most of our vehicles were fixed up like biblical scenes out of the Bible. And what broke my heart is that most kids, when they came and by our vehicle anyway, and I can't think of any other scene in the Bible which is easier to diagnose as a kid than Daniel in the lion's den. And my wife was in there with a bunch of lions and stuffed animals and everything else. We even had a pug dressed up like a lion on the tailgate with a big manes on it. And so they'd come over to see that dog. And so she's in there with the bars on the window in the back of the truck with this camper on there. And she said, you know what? She said, I was thrown into the lion's den because of my relationship with God. You know, who am I? Who am I? And when you realize that the vast majority of the parents that came by could not answer that question, and not but two of the kids could that came by. And I ain't talking about just teeny tiny children. But they were totally deprived. I told them, I said, they're not going to have a chance when they get to Rhonda's vehicle down there. And because she had she had the story of the honey hive inside the line that Samson, the riddle that Samson had of the beehive inside of the line. I said, they ain't got a chance time they get down there figuring out what that is. The thing of it is that we're so ignorant. We're not willing to pay the price to teach our children even the basic stories. Many of them that I've learned, and perhaps God's grace allowed you to learn very early on in Sunday school and vacation Bible school. Daniel in the lion's den, and David and Goliath, and Noah and the ark, and so on and so forth, that we just take for granted and our children are totally ignorant of, but they can take an iPhone and tear it up. They can Google anything. And we lay back in our ignorant slumber, thinking everything's all right and we're so educated. And we're so educated, we're stupid. I say that with a heart of love, but that's a fact. That's a fact of these United States of America, and it's a fact of the Church of America. What are we willing to pay? No greater price has ever been paid. Jesus paid it in His blood for those who couldn't care less. Now listen to me. I'm going to give you the end of the story. You say, why are you telling this Civil War story? One of the 10 men originally on the list of prisoners to be executed received a last-minute reprieve. Who was the man out of the 10, the last one, that I told you to remember his name? William T. Hunter. Praise the Lord. Some of you, the front two rows are awake up here. The reprieve was William T. Humphrey. Hearing that Humphrey was under the sentence of death, a young man named Hiram Smith came forward. Hiram Smith was about 21 years old. He was also imprisoned. He came forward explaining that he was unmarried and he didn't have a family. And he asked permission to take the place of Humphrey. Humphrey had three children and had a newborn baby, which was 2 months old. He stated perhaps that it would be better for a single man to die than a man with a family. The accounts of one reporter said when they came to him and they granted the request, they granted the reprieve, they called Hiram Smith to the front of the door, to the bars where, and they said, Your request has been granted. You'll die tomorrow instead of William T. Humphrey. Said he never said a word. Just gently turned around, walked back over to the corner where the bucket of water was, got him a cup, took a drink, went over and sat down. They walked off, and some of the other nine convicted men there that were sentenced to die. And by the way, these were just Confederate sympathizers. These weren't murderers or anything else. They were just going to be killed because the Almond feller was killed. They came up to him and said, don't you care that you're going to die tomorrow and you're just 21 years old? You haven't even lived half your life, lad, and don't you care? And he simply turned and looked at him and said, you know what? Death will be just as easy for me tomorrow as drinking that cup of water was for me today. He said, every man's going to die one day. I've been given the privilege to know when and how. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ. If you go to the cemetery of the Mount Pleasant Church in the town of Mount Salem, you'll find a stone there that has been erected with the following inscription. This monument is dedicated to the memory of Hiram Smith, the hero who sleeps beneath the sod here, was shot in Palmyra, October the 17th, 1862, as a substitute for William T. Humphrey, my father. Let me ask you a question. Does that bring anything or anyone to mind? That's exactly what Jesus did for us. Exactly what Jesus did for us. He became our substitute. And as a result, we've become the eternal monument to His riches, to His mercy, and to His glory. Instead of being a stone out in the cemetery, we are the living stones that says Jesus stepped forward and paid the price for my life and for your life, and he's the greatest veteran which has ever lived and continues to live. And he's worthy to serve. He's worthy to follow. Miss Faye, would you come? I think of this. On Veterans Day, I think of the flag there. And look at here. Y'all calm down. This is not a flag that was made into a shirt. This is just a shirt that resembles a flag. So don't freak out. On Veterans Day, we honor our veterans and we honor the flag and we sing. And we sing to God be the glory, but I also want you to know then that flag is an opportunity for us to thank those who loved enough to give their lives for others and for their country. But I also want you to notice this little symbolic cross right here. Leaning up right here against the organ right here. This monument speaks to all who will hear. And what does it say? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Because Jesus stepped forward in my place and in your place. Now, at the end of the service, we're going to honor our veterans and we're going to give them a little gift, a little token of our appreciation. But here's the invitation. During your time to respond to God's message, that's what an invitation is. How are you going to honor Christ for what he did for you? And you ever heard the old adage, lip service is cheap? It's cheaper now than it's ever been. That, you know, used to, you could tell somebody something and give them a handshake, and that would be it. You're a fool now. You better get it in writing, then you better get it notarized, and you better be sure you got a lawyer on the time. But Jesus said, "Whosoever will." And he's good to his word. So I extend the invitation two ways. Perhaps God has spoken to you this morning. Deep down in your heart, in your psyche, in your mind, in your understanding. And you realize that you don't know him in the way that you should. And more importantly, not that you don't know facts about him, but I'm going to tell you this. There's nobody that will be walking the streets of glory who has not surrendered to him. There's a difference between believing in him and surrendering to him. Now, when I say the word surrender, we I don't know what conjures up in your mind, but let me give you the definition of it. It's the ultimate price. It's the ultimate price to give up your agenda, your desires, and your life to follow Jesus. What does it look like on the very basic level? On the very basic level, it looks like spending time daily with Christ. Can you imagine saying, you know, like Jesus paid it all, and I don't even check in with my Heavenly Father every day in his word? What does it look like? It looks like meaning biblical communication with God. We would say prayer. But more than just a list of wants and desires, communicating with God. Communicating with God. Here, Jesus said, "My sheep know me," and they do what? They hear my voice. They hear my voice. What's God said to you this week? What's he been saying to you? What's he been moving you to do in the job in which he's given you? In the marriage in which he's given you? With the children in which he's given you? In the relationships in which he's given you? How is he leading and directing you? And I say these things with the utmost respect because I don't want anybody to miss heaven because he hung on the cross so you wouldn't miss heaven. But see, here's the thing about heaven. Heaven isn't about heaven. The essence of heaven is the close proximity you'll have with your Heavenly Father and seeing Jesus face to face. I told a friend of mine a long time ago, I said, "Friend," he was talking about, you know, hypocrites in church, the first one thing and the other and this and that. "You can be a Christian not being a part of church." I said, "Listen, don't worry about it." I said, "If you don't have a desire," I said, "you don't understand." I said, you're not looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. I said, "You're looking at people inside of the body of Christ." I said, "You're supposed to be looking at Christ. And if you're looking at Christ, you would see these people aren't much different than you. You're a mess. You're like me. You're one blind, crippled, naked, dumb joker. I could talk to him like that because I know him. I think you got to shake a little bit. You know, there's so many of these little cuddly, fuzzy words, you know. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. We're all messed up. I said, you don't have to worry about it, though. You don't have to worry about it. I had one guy tell me one time that if there were black people in heaven, he didn't want to go to heaven. I said, I wouldn't much worry about it. Don't even worry about it. You know why I told him not to worry about it?
Don't let black people in the other place
too. That's beside the point, huh? Because he's not going. I doubt he liked Palestinian Jews either. That's what Christ did. Folks, Christianity is a lot more serious than what the modern day church has made it. Salvation is a lot more serious than God has given us the plan. People in the military, it's serious business. It's life and death. Life and death. And so is Christianity, it's life and death. It's life and death. Are you ready? If you don't know Jesus Christ, why don't you accept Him today? Put it all behind you, no matter what your age is. No matter what your age is. Just come forward and say, you know what, I want to accept Christ. And then second of all, as a Christian, how you been living? How you been doing? How you been living? How you been doing? Let me put this in your mind. Move your thought when I'm done. God is holy. He is so holy that there's not words in the English language or that are written that I can explain to you how holy He is. On my very best day, on Billy Graham's very best day, he has filthy rags in the sight of God. Now that's not in a condemning way to put a person down or even to put yourself down or to beat yourself up. That's to let us know exactly where we stand in comparison to a holy God. And because of what He gave us through Christ and then through His Holy Spirit, He expects us to live beyond that. Yeah, Jesus paid all. I'm saved by grace. But He said there's works that we've been foreordained to walk in those. And those works as the works of changing our character. It's not building a wheelchair around or changing a light bulb for somebody or giving an orphan a gift. Those are good works. They're good things. We should do them. But the most marvelous works He's looking at us is the change of our character to make us more like Christ. Could you be more like Jesus? Let's stand right now. Head bowed, eyes closed. If you're lost, in just a second, line up, pray. I want you to come and say, you know what, preacher? I want to accept Christ. It doesn't mean you'll be a member of this church or anything else. I just want you to know Jesus, and you can decide what you need to do afterwards of that. But second of all, Christian friend, as we honor our military veterans today, what type of veteran are you in the army of Christ? Are we like the greatest veteran of all, Jesus Christ? And if we find ourselves falling short, we don't want to roll around in pity. We want to come to Him in repentance, which means a change of direction, and a sobriety of mind, which means I know what I'm putting my faith, hope, and trust in Him, and then to change our direction by knowing and reading and studying His Word, praying, worshiping, church, all these things. I'm going to make a decision today to put Him first. He is worthy to honor. And I pray the altar's open. Heavenly Father, we just ask you to bless this invitation. And in Jesus' name we pray. If you're lost, won't you come to Christ? If you're a Christian and God has spoken to you, and you know what? He's a veteran worthy of honor in your life. Won't you just come and say, thank you, Lord, that I've been born in these United States of America. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for changing me. Thank you, Lord, for having patience with me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.